ID, the future. A podcast about evolution and intelligent design.
Hello, I'm Andrew McDermott. Are life and the universe a mindless accident, the blind outworking of laws governing cosmic, chemical, and biological evolution? That's the official story many of us were taught somewhere along the way, but what does the science actually say? Last spring, Discovery Institute Press published a new introductory volume titled Evolution and Intelligent Design in a Nutshell. Drawing on recent discoveries in astronomy, cosmology, chemistry, biology, and paleontology, this book provides a wonderfully accessible introduction to many of the key issues in the debate over evolution and intelligent design. Today, I'm pleased to be joined by one of the authors, Eric Anderson, to get an update on how the book has been received and why it's more relevant now than ever. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks, Andrew. Glad to be here.
Regular listeners will know that Eric is also one of our regular hosts here at ID the Future, but it's great to have him on the other side of the mic, so to speak, to give us an update on this book and maybe give you a chance, Eric, to respond to some of the critics. For those who don't know, Eric is an attorney and software company entrepreneur, design theorist, and contributor on evolution and intelligent design topics at Uncommon Dissent and evolutionnews.org. So let's dive right in.
Sounds great.
Evolution and Intelligent Design in a Nutshell has been out for several months now, and you've gotten over 100 ratings on Amazon, which is actually great for a book on a niche topic like this. Tell us a little bit about how the book's doing.
Sure. So it's great to see the reception. We don't take the stats too seriously, but certainly appreciate that we're having an impact and making a difference. And so that's been very satisfying. Most of the reviews have been positive. We have a few negative reviews, of course, as is always inevitable.
Sure. Well, why don't we start with those? What kinds of feedback did you get, negative feedback, and was it thoughtful and reasonable, or are some people just missing the point?
Yeah, I would say that the negative feedback probably falls into three categories. First, you have the trolls. There's one individual in particular that runs around on Amazon. Obviously, hadn't read the book, but runs around on Amazon giving negative reviews to anybody that says anything even slightly questionable about evolution. So you just have to kind of ignore those and let the water roll off your back, so to speak.
Yeah.
The second category would be mistakes. Anybody who's worked on a large book or a large project knows that no matter how many times you review something, there's going to be a mistake that slips in. So we had one mistake in the introduction where we mentioned nucleic acids instead of nucleotides, which was a misreference, and we appreciated the reviewer pointing that mistake out. He was generally positive other than that, but that's the second category. And then more importantly is the substantive criticism. There was one reviewer who said, "Nothing new here. Have read many books on this debate, and this one doesn't cover any real new ground." So I would say two things to that. First of all, our focus was to bring many of the key arguments, from Steve Meyer, Mike Behe, Bill Demske, and others to young people and to those new to the debate. So in some ways, part of the point was to, highlight what's already out there and what's been talked about by some of the key proponents of intelligent design and key critics of evolution and bring that to a lay audience. So that's part of the point of the book. On the other hand, I would also say it's not quite a fair criticism, in my opinion, because we do have some things that are valuable and new in their own right. Paul Chin, for example, who did the chapter on the Cambrian explosion, shares quite a bit about his personal experience of being one of the first teams to go into China and be able to film their expedition there. And that was a pretty interesting personal experience that I don't think he shared in detail anywhere else.
Huh.
Rob Walzer, who talked about irreducible complexity. Obviously, that's a topic that Mike Behe made famous, and listeners and readers will be certainly familiar with that. But I thought Rob did a great job of extending the irreducible complexity argument to the system level rather than to individual molecular machines, and did a great job. So that's another area that I think even seasoned readers will appreciate. And then finally, my chapter on self-replication is advancing what, to me at least, is largely a unique argument in terms of what I've seen in the literature.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the beauty of a community like this, like the intelligent design community, is that you can seem to have the best writing on a topic, and then, others can come along and, in the spirit of camaraderie, give you another perspective.
Sure.
And it doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It just needs to be a different perspective that can add to your robust understanding of
right.
the topic. So I think it's great. I mean, from my reading, the book is a good mix of helping newcomers understand the arguments that have been around for a while, but also updating those arguments, even in subtle ways, with recent support that, you know, seasoned readers would find illuminating. Let me share a couple of the positive reviews. There's one that says, for those who have studied this subject, the book serves as an excellent review and reference. For those new to intelligent design and evolution, it's an accessible introduction strong on the science. Another reviewer I noticed said, this brief book presents the case for intelligent design in a clear, well-organized way. If you're needing a starting place to understand what intelligent design is all about, buy this book. It's an entertaining read to boot. Highly recommended.
That's great to hear. One of the most satisfying aspects is hearing from quite a few people who felt the book hit a nice sweet spot, as those reviewers said, between, you know, heavy science and what's good for the newcomers. So it's nice to hear that we hit that sweet spot.
Yeah. I saw another reviewer too that it sounded like the person was younger. They said they appreciated that the book isn't geared toward biology or geology students and that they found it accessible and not overly technical. They said they got enough answers from the book without getting overwhelmed. Is that what you were shooting for?
Yeah, absolutely. The idea for the book initially was specifically to target the book toward teens, toward early college students, toward people who are brand new to the debate. So it's great to hear that individual's feedback and perspective. That's exactly the target audience we were trying to get. And we got quite a bit of feedback unsolicited from us that noted that we hit that target audience very much the way we were hoping to.
Yeah. Well, one other final one that I singled out here, put it this way. I've been reading books on evidence for intelligent design since 1990. Most of these books are somewhat cumbersome due to scientific theory and detail. However, they're not for non-science readers. This book is just what has been needed to bring this important information to the general public. It covers the spectrum of issues in clear, succinct, very readable ways. Well, it sounds like you guys nailed it.
Yeah, I hope we did. I think it's a testament to the hard work that each of the authors put in, as well as a good editor in Jonathan Witt, who helped us strike the right balance between technical detail and accessibility for a lay audience. Yeah. Some of the reviewers mentioned specific chapters that they enjoyed, so maybe on another podcast another time we'll have a chance to talk about a couple of those reviews relating specifically to the self-replication chapter.
Yeah, that would be great. I'm sure it's heartening to know that your goal with the book really came through in filling a niche that was needed in this debate. I understand also that you're working on some translations.
Right. Yeah. So two of our authors, Thomas Lowe, who had the idea for the book in the first place, and Paul Chin speak Chinese and have good connections in the community and have been interested in a Chinese edition. So they've been working on that. Thomas in particular, together with some other volunteers to whom we're extremely grateful, have been working hard on the Chinese translation. That's coming along very nicely and should be ready soon. So I'll let Thomas tell you more about the Chinese edition when it comes out. We've also started on a Spanish translation, and I was recently contacted just a week or so ago by a group in Norway who said they're interested in having a book as a great introductory resource in their country. So we may move forward with the Norwegian translation if we can pull everything together. That's still very much in the early stages with a lot of work ahead. So we'll see if we can pull that off. But yeah, we got some good translations coming in the works.
That's awesome. Yeah, we're really seeing the intelligent design community spreading to all parts of the globe now. And it's really exciting to see people not just, you know, take on the books that have been written by those who have founded the movement and got it going, but also wanting them to or seeing them want to create their own thing, you know, to build their own space, to have to have an office, to start research projects, to write their own books. You know, that's when you can tell that things are taking off globally.
Absolutely.
Well, it's an indication of the level of interest for clear thinking and arguments on the subject that there would be translation talk in the first place. So it'll be wonderful to see the multiple languages coming up. So keep us posted on that.
We'll definitely keep you posted. Absolutely.
Now, what would you say to anyone who hasn't yet read the book or maybe has someone they could share it with?
Well, get a copy. As several reviewers have said, you know, even for old timers in the debate, there's going to be some of the material that's a review, but also a few new aspects we discussed that are well worth the modest price of the book. And if I can wax philosophical for just a minute, I'm confident that everybody has someone in their life who could benefit from a simple, unintimidating introduction to this often challenging and sometimes confusing debate. I hear people talking about some of the most important questions we can ask. You know, why am I here? Is it all just a cosmic accident, or is there reason to think our existence is part of a plan or a design? And there's always somebody in your life that could be blessed or benefit from an introduction to this topic. And a lot of people ask, what can I do to help support intelligent design? Well, frankly, most people can't spend a couple of years researching and writing a book, but you can spend the price of a cup of coffee to buy, you know, a copy of the book for a friend or a relative or a coworker. And let me just add, Andrew, so that listeners know, this is not a matter of self-interest. All five of the authors are not taking any royalties or compensation for the book, but instead, you know, everything is going back into sharing this important message and getting the word out on this incredibly important topic. So that's my shameless plug.
Well, that's fantastic. Very selfless. And, you know, everything you've done is to move forward the debate. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that was really the goal. I mean, Thomas, when he first talked about doing the book and recruited several of us to help out with the book, that was definitely his goal, was to, you know, not make money or anything, but to have this message get out, particularly to young people, teenagers, early college students, those who really need to be inoculated as they're heading off to college and understanding a little bit more about these topics. So that's definitely the goal.
And although we all like to dive deep sometimes, and there's a lot of value in that, you know, I think the word nutshell can be music to people's ears sometimes, especially with the information overload we're dealing with these days. You know, it's just great to have something that you can get through without feeling overwhelmed or take a year to do it, you know?
Right. Yep.
So, well, I hope we can have you back soon to talk more about your chapter on self-replication and maybe help us understand better the context of the debate and even some of the recent papers that have come out that relate directly to arguments laid out in the book.
Absolutely. Always happy to talk about self-replication. It's a wonderful topic, one of my favorite. And there's a lot of fascinating history behind it, actually, and huge implications for current origin of life research as well.
Okay. Well, congratulations again on helping to put together a tremendous resource to help bring these important issues to a broader audience. Thanks so much, Eric, for taking the time to give us an update.
My pleasure, Andrew.
Well, Evolution in Intelligent Design in a Nutshell is available online at retailers like Amazon and BN.com. You can enjoy more episodes of ID the Future at idthefuture.com or via your favorite podcasts platform. For ID the Future, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
Visit us at idthefuture.com and intelligentdesign.org. This program is copyright Discovery Institute and recorded by its Center for Science and Culture.